Good morning. Thank you very much for coming. The Secretary-General will briefly preview the ministerial, and then he'll be able to take a few questions. Secretary-General.
Good morning. Today and tomorrow, NATO's foreign ministers will address some of the security challenges we all are facing. And we will do that by addressing a wide range of issues. But at the core of the meeting is the importance of the transatlantic bond, the bond between Europe and North America. And one way of strengthening the bond between North America and Europe is by strengthening the cooperation between NATO and the European Union. And we have a momentum now when it comes to NATO-EU cooperation. In July, I signed a joint declaration with Presidents Tusk and Juncker. And at the meeting today, we will decide how we turn that declaration into concrete action. So this afternoon, we will meet with EU High Representative Vice President Federica Mogherini, and all allies will endorse over 40 proposals to deepen our cooperation in seven key areas. These include agreements to do more on land, at sea, and in cyberspace, including to counter hybrid threats. We will also commit to working more closely to support our partners in Europe, the Middle East, and North Africa. Our proposals are pragmatic but ambitious, and we will continue to work in this spirit. Later today, we will focus on NATO's efforts to project stability beyond our borders, to the south and to the east. We have made progress since the Warsaw Summit. Our AWACS surveillance planes have started to provide information to the counter-ISIL coalition. We have trained many Iraqi officers and are now expanding that training. And our new operation Sea Guardian is now supporting EU's operations of Sophia in the central Mediterranean. We will also address NATO's support for the Western Balkans, which requires our continued attention and effort. Tomorrow, we will begin with a meeting of the NATO-Ukraine Commission, underscoring the alliance's enduring support for Ukraine. We will take stock of NATO's support and of the government's reform. The ministerial will close with a meeting on Afghanistan and our resolute support mission. We will reconfirm our strong commitment to Afghanistan's security, and we will get an update on the government's reform agenda, which is essential for Afghanistan's long-term stability and prosperity. And with that, I'm ready to take your questions.
Wall Street Journal.
Mr. Secretary-General, two questions. One, the U.S. and EU are signing an agreement on logistics today. Are you concerned at all that that sidesteps NATO? And how can real NATO-EU cooperation move forward without a peace deal in Cyprus?
I welcome the agreement that is signed between the United States and EU today, because that is one building block in what we are going to do later on here at NATO, and that is to strengthen the transatlantic bond by strengthening the cooperation between NATO and the European Union. And we think this is more important than ever, partly because we are faced with new kinds of threats. This combination of military and non-military means of aggression, hybrid cyber terrorism, and that requires that that NATO and the European Union works together. We also think that stronger NATO-EU cooperation is even more important because the European Union is now more focused on strengthening European defense, and we welcome stronger European defense. But to make sure that this is done in a way which is complementary to NATO, we need even closer cooperation between NATO and the European Union. And also the fact that there has been asked questions, or questions has been asked, or questions have been asked related to the strength of the transatlantic bond. I think the best way to respond to those questions is to deliver stronger NATO-EU cooperation, which strengthen the transatlantic bond. And today we will endorse 40 concrete proposals on cyber, on hybrid, on exercises, on maritime cooperation, and in many other areas. So the agreement between the U.S. and the European Union is something we welcome. We regard that as a building block in the broader effort of strengthening the transatlantic bond. On the Cyprus conflict, I would just say that I strongly support the efforts, the UN-led efforts, to find a solution between the two communities at Cyprus. There has been some progress, but still I think it's much too early to say whether they will succeed or not. But I think what we have proven over the last couple of years is that even with the conflict or the in Cyprus unsolved, we are able to move forward on strengthening NATO-EU cooperation. We have seen that in the GNC, where the NATO and the European Union works together. We have seen it now in Central Mediterranean with Sea Guardian and Operation Sophia, and we see it today with the 40 concrete proposals. So, yes, I would like to see a solution to the conflict in Cyprus, but no, that's not a precondition for moving forward on NATO-EU cooperation.
Al Arabiya, in the center.
In the war against Daesh, NATO is participating and supporting the coalition. Can you have tell us the first result of NATO contribution in this war against Daesh in Syria and Iraq? And mainly, with the Sea Guardian operation, do you think NATO will be useful in monitoring and maybe fighting the movement of the Daesh fighter from Iraq and Syria to Libya? Because according to many security experts, this will be one of their options to move from the Middle East to North Africa. Thank you.
So all NATO allies participate in the counter-ISIL coalition. And for the coalition, it is important and a great advantage that through decades of NATO exercises and decades of NATO operations, NATO allies and partners have developed interoperability, the ability to work closer together in military operations, as we now see in Syria and Iraq. So NATO allies participate, and the coalition draws on the experience and the skills which has been developed in NATO over decades. Second, we decided in July to increase our direct support from NATO to the counter-ISIL coalition. We have done that by providing AWACS support, and the AWACS planes have started to fly and to provide information, support to the counter-ISIL coalition to improve their air picture over Iraq and Syria. And we have trained Iraqi officers. We will increase that by also start now in-country training in Iraq from January. And we will then assess look into whether we are going to do even more based on the experience from the activity that will start in Iraq in January. Our Sea Guardian operation is a maritime security operation. It's a flexible operation, and it can be used to different tasks depending on decisions by the 28 allies. We have already started to provide support to Operation Sophia. We provide logistical support and also information. We share information with Sea Guardian. Sea Guardian will not operate in Libyan territorial waters. We will operate in international waters. But, of course, improved situational awareness, a better understanding of what's going on also in the Mediterranean Sea, will contribute to our overall efforts to counter terrorism in the region.
Gentleman over there.
Thank you.
In Russian President Putin's State of the Union last week and his foreign policy document, he expressed a wish to a tighter cooperation with the U.S., with the new president. So I wonder, what's your take on the speech and on the foreign policy document? Is there anything for NATO there to work on for a better relation with the Russians?
So I welcome any toning down of the rhetoric, because I think words matters, and less aggressive rhetoric can be a first step towards also a better dialogue. At the same time, words matters, but of course deeds matters even more. Therefore, the important thing is what we see, what kind of actions we see from the Russian side. But we will continue to pursue a dual-track approach to Russia, based on strength, based on deterrence and collective defense, combined with dialogue, combined with keeping the challenge for political dialogue open with Russia. And this was my message the first day I arrived in NATO, the 1st of October 2014, that we need defense and dialogue, not defense or dialogue. And therefore, we welcome everything that can, or anything that can improve the conditions for a dialogue with Russia. We believe that, especially when tensions run high, it is in particular important to have dialogue, to have direct communications, and we don't want a new Cold War. We don't see confrontation with Russia. We will continue to strive for a more constructive relationship with Russia.
One last question, gentlemen over here.
Mr. Secretary General, there's going to be informal discussion about the future relations with Russia. Could you give us an insight why the alliance is always trying to reconsider, to look for another approach to make the ties with Russia better if there is no reciprocity from the Moscow side? Thank you.
Well, one of the reasons why we think it is important to sit down is also to discuss those issues where we disagree. And so far this year, we have been able to convene two meetings of the NATO-Russia Council. And there we have discussed also issues like, for instance, Ukraine. We didn't come to any agreement. We continued to disagree. But I think just to meet, to sit around the table and to have a frank and open discussion on also the difficult issues is important. So we will continue to keep that kind of dialogue open in different ways, but also through the NATO-Russia Council. We will also continue to work for reciprocity when it comes to transparency, risk reduction, and also the full implementation of the different agreements we have, for instance, in the OSCE framework on transparency and risk reduction, something called the Vienna document and something called the Open Sky document, which is documents that regulate how you notify military exercises, how international observers are allowed to inspect military exercises. And one of the issues we have focused very much on in our dialogue with Russia is exactly how we can strengthen, improve these kind of mechanisms, partly by making sure that the existing mechanisms are fully implemented and partly by improving some of the mechanisms so we are strengthening the tools to avoid incidents and accidents, like, for instance, the downing of the Russian plane over Turkey last year, or some of the very dangerous situations we have seen in the Baltic Sea and the Black Sea, where Russian planes have been very close to NATO or U.S. Planes and ships. So we need to strengthen the tools we have to avoid these kind of dangerous situations, and if they happen, to make sure that they don't spiral out of control. This is, of course, about reciprocity, and that's exactly what we are discussing, for instance, in the NATO-Russia Council.
Thank you very much, colleagues. That's all we have time for now, but, of course, the Secretary General will be back during the afternoon to brief you. Thank you.
Thank you.